Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm one of the hosts this evening, Rasaki Mascani, and on the panel, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Professor Amin Ra, Brother Mashinda, and our host, the main host for this evening, is Brother Muko. Brother Muko, thanks again for having us here with you and Mr. Williams. I'm turning it over to you.
All right. Well, shout out to everybody. Greetings, everyone, to the Central Education Network. Tonight, we're going to have Mr. Edward Williams, Counter Racism, as we all know him on our X platform. And we're going to be discussing the topic of racism and counter racism. So it's going to kind of be a Q&A, discussion. For people that may have questions as the conversation go on, just raise your hands and just ask your question. So I first want to start by asking, Mr. Edwards, is there anything you want to let anybody know about your work and your future works and anything else about yourself that, you just want to reveal to everyone?
No, sir, not at this time. Let's jump right into it.
All right. Well, for this discussion, it's been a question that I think that needs to be answered, or a lot of victims have for, and we're really, when we're discussing counter racist logic, can you explain to the care unit the difference between counter racist language and counter racist logic versus the language of racism, white supremacy, and the logic of racism, white supremacy? I hope I was clear with that.
Yes, sir.
Between the two.
So the language of racism, white supremacy is any language that causes confusion for non-white people. Doesn't have to be in English, doesn't have to be Spanish, Portuguese, any language that causes confusion for non-white people. And the logic that's associated with that language is the logic to keep non-white people worldwide confused and subjected to the system itself. Counter-racism language is any language that has been engineered when in use to reveal truth. Now, the logic associated with counter-racism language, counter-racism logic, is just logic that you set up to counter racism. In order to do that, you're going to have to reveal truth. The racists, white supremacists, use as their primary weapon deceit. And they use words mainly to deceive people. When they can't deceive you, they come at you directly with violence. Deceit itself is a form of violence. When you're fooling someone unjustly to that person's detriment, you are committing violence against that person.
Okay, very well said. I think that follows the logic. That makes sense according to the evidence as well. When using counter racist language, Well, let me put it this way. Is it a way that you can use counter-racist language without using counter-racist logic?
Absolutely. The words themselves, absolutely. Not the definitions of the words, but the words themselves, absolutely. There are many non-white people that currently use the term or phrase white supremacy. They do not connect that with the word racism. Logically speaking, those two words or phrases, racism and white supremacy, must always be connected together. They both describe the same thing, a worldwide system that functions in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. For about 50 or more years, we have, many Black people have stated that our problem is an economic problem. And we discussed that for many decades and concluded that that was the problem. But the system of racism, white supremacy functions in all areas of people activity, not just economics. So in order to counter the system of racism, white supremacy, you have to use counter-racist language connected to counter-racism logic in all areas of people activity, not just in economics.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Do you have a, or do you feel like it is important for every victim of racism, white supremacy to have a workable meaning of racism, white supremacy?
That would be nice, but the white people who practice racism, white supremacy are very efficient at using words. They are masters of words and not amateurs. They're masters of words. And so their use of words, and this goes straight to the weight of the system itself, it's easier for them to get non-white people on board using words and the definitions of words that they define. And you can see this every day in your conversations or discussions with non-white people. I've been asked, well, how many non-white people is it going to take to replace the system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice? And my response is always the same. It's going to take as many as it takes. I don't have an exact number. You're talking about doing something that's never been done before. So getting back to the question directly, for every victim of racism, white supremacy to have a working definition, this is the reason for my response. It would be nice. But I don't know how many non-white people it's going to take to replace the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice. I have no idea. I think in Mr. Fuller's work, he wrote a substantial number or an effective number. And when we questioned him about that, he said, yes, it's going to take as many as it takes.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
And it's similar to what Brother Muko just asked. I coming into the knowing of the word racism and racist, a lot of people that I talk to now, and just by listening to Neely Fuller, Professor Amin Ra, and other scholars who talk about the system of racism, and they explain the definition. And you have many people that are non-white that call people of color racist. And it gets frustrating at times to deal with them because they have no idea what they're saying and it doesn't make sense. And I try to explain to them, but I don't do a great job because I get kind of frustrated with the things that don't make sense. So what is your definition of racism and where it's clear that people know what it is versus them calling people that are non-white racist? Or what is your definition of a racist?
My definition of racism, white supremacy is it's a kindergarten definition, one I use most often. It's the mistreatment of people based on color. That's it.
So then, now, what is a racist then?
Any white person who chooses to mistreat someone based on color.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Muko, back to you.
That was absolutely a great question. I would have to add on to that question by saying, in a system of racism, white supremacy, is it logical to think that a white person could be a victim of racism, white supremacy?
No, sir. Okay. And because they can practice racism, white supremacy, can't be a victim. I'll put it this way. You can't be a pedophile and a victim of pedophilia at the same time. That does not compute. As long as the system of racism, white supremacy is in place, and it is in place right now, no white person can ever be a victim of racism, white supremacy.
I agree to the logic of that. Definitely agree to the logic of that. And a lot of conversations that I hear with victims of racism, white supremacy, and some that we've had in the chat, others in other spaces that I just listen, I hear, and when I'm talking about the global system of racism, white supremacy, most people, and I think you asked this earlier, never give their meaning of system, and they use the words system, systematic, and systemic all the same. Would you explain the differences and between those three words and how they get misconstrued?
Sure. A system is basically any number of any number of independent elements that work together to form a whole. And, you know, you can embellish on that definition a little bit more. Any interdependent elements, unified group of elements that work together to form a complex whole. And you can just go on and on and on. But in essence, it's any number of independent elements working together to form a complex whole. Now, the system of racism, white supremacy, those elements are the areas of people activity. And the whole, the complex whole, is the system itself. Systemic is basically something can be, you can have something that's systemic of a system, but something that is systemic for example, you can use the area of people activity known as education and the mistreatment of non-white people in the area of people activity that's known as education and some elements within that area. One could say one or two or three or more, whatever the case may be, of those elements within that area of people activity are systemic, but that doesn't describe the overall complex whole and how it functions. The term systematic is usually used in a way that that describes an organized system, but it doesn't go into detail about what the elements of that organized system is. Again, it's akin to the word systemic and how it's used. It can be part of a system. So when people use these words, and they will use them interchangeably, as you stated, they don't fully understand the details that are necessary. Naming the elements, the areas of people activity, what goes on in each area of people activity where people are mistreated based on color. And you may notice, you probably already have, that during discussions when people talk about racism or white supremacy or racism, white supremacy, however they phrase it, and they use the word systemic or they use the word systematic, they never get into the details. So, and I have attempted to correct people in the past, but it usually falls on deaf ears, so to speak.
Yeah, I witnessed that. I witnessed that a lot. One thing that has, I think, that has been coming up, and I think me and you have encountered it in a few spaces together, the confusion around organizing and unifying to dismantle a thing called racism, white supremacy, and establish a system of justice. Can you explain in a way that kind of make it simpler for the listeners and the participants to understand the that it's going to take a unifying around a code to dismantle the system of racism, white supremacy, according to the evidence, and not organization. Organization sense to dismantle organizing to dismantle racism, white supremacy. I think I remember hearing you and Mr. Fuller kind of discuss that in a past a pow talk maybe in 2006 or something like that, and that topic came up about organizing against white supremacy instead of unifying. So can you explain that in detail?
Sure. There's no way to organize against the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy. There's a concept that's called sleeper cells, if you've heard of that. In the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy, each individual white person who is able to practice racism, white supremacy is a sleeper cell for the system itself. As it is a worldwide system, there's no way to organize against it. I don't know how many people in this meeting currently has ever been to has ever fought in a war. You can organize against a country or a state or even one person, even have some rules of engagement of what must be followed by a particular country or nation. You know where they exist. You may know how to attack them. You may know how to counterattack them. But the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy is very elusive. It's even difficult to find a white person who says that they are a racist white supremacist. They're phantoms. You may find one or two of them that says that they are, and a white person will come right up behind them and say that they're not. Or the person who says that they are, 3 days later, might say that they're not. So attempting to organize against that is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to do. So, counter-racism code states that instead of attempting to organize against a worldwide system where the people who practice racism, white supremacy are extremely elusive, you have to unify against it. Now, what does it mean to unify? It means that you have to come up with a counter code and unify around that code. Well, someone might ask, well, why can't we unify around each other? It's because one of the strategies of the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, is to keep non-white people focused on and in conflict with each other. That's one of their strategies. I mean, you are gonna, and they are paying people a lot of money in order to do that. So it's difficult to get around that strategy. And there have been different things throughout history. The Willie Lynch letters that talk about, for example, how to keep the slaves in line, pit the old against the new, the young, the male against the female, et cetera. In other words, how to keep them focused on and in conflict with each other. Now, as long as they are focused on and in conflict with each other, they are not focusing on what the slave master is doing. Same strategy in a prison system. You keep those prisoners focused on and in conflict with each other. Somebody once said, it was a prison guard, said, if these black males in here were studying and reading instead of fighting each other, we would be in trouble. He said, we do not have enough bullets to be able to defend ourselves against all of these prisoners. Same strategy there. You keep them focused on and in conflict with each other. So in order to unify in a counter code, instead of organize, prisoners try to organize too, it don't work out too well for them. In order to unify, you have to make sure that all of your interactions with non-white people are of a constructive value. Now, what does that mean? To solve problems without producing more problems. You have to minimize conflict by maximizing constructive interaction. And when you can't do that, you minimize conflict by minimizing contact. That should be a last resort.
Serious, serious. Definitely understand that. I hope. Does anybody have any questions so far? I know I've been asking a lot of the questions, and of course, they are questions that I've jotted down throughout the weeks and months, just to kind of help fellow victims get a little clear about, the system of racism, white supremacy, and how it works, and how countering racism works. The language, counter-racist language, and counter-racist logic. I hear a lot of things about a thing called reparations, repair, and when I hear these things, it always makes me think of identifying as a race. Can you explain to fellow victims of racism, white supremacy, why it is important to, as long as a system of racism, white supremacy exists, that the victims identify as victims of racism, white supremacy?
Oh, yeah, sure. The white people who practice racism, white supremacy will change your racial designation at the drop of a hat. Right now, one of the things that they're doing is they are increasing the number of racial categories at the same rate as they are increasing the number of gender categories. They don't care, the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, they don't care what you call yourself as long as it does not interfere with their business. So, and there are a lot of new racial categories coming out all the time. In fact, the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, will ask you to identify yourself in terms of race, thereby producing another racial category. And it just doesn't make sense. In the code book, it says there are three categories of people: white people, non-white people, and white supremacists, racists. And that's a different worldview than the worldview of the system of racism, white supremacy. With the counter-racism code worldview, there are no nations on the planet other than the nation of racism, white supremacy. Now, that's a difficult pill for somebody to swallow. There are no countries, there are no states, there are no cities, boroughs. None of those things exist. It's only people. And people get to define what their surroundings are like as long as it does not interfere with the business of racism, white supremacy. And the white people who practice racism, white supremacy will encourage them to do so. So there's only one race of people on the planet. And that is the white people who mistreat people based on color. That's it. And that is a difficult pill for a lot of non-white people to swallow. Many non-white people want to be just like white people. They think that's equality or equity, I've heard it referred to as. And so when you explain to them that there's no black race, they're not going to want to hear that. There's no brown race, there's no yellow race, there's no red race, there's no olive race, there's no whatever the case may be. Those people are not going to want to hear that. And so you may have to back off. Because in many cases, if you don't, you will be maximizing conflict instead of minimizing conflict, right? So, since only the white people who practice racism, white supremacy are members of a race, they are the only racists, meaning the only white supremacists. Common racism code states that they are racist suspects. Each individual non-white person, when they encounter a white person who they suspect mistreats people based on color, then that white person, to that non-white person, becomes a racist suspect. And they remain a racist suspect until the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy is replaced with a worldwide system of justice. I hope I've answered your question.
Brother Mukro,
Yes.
let me go around the panel just in case somebody has a question that they want to ask. Ernest, do you have a question for Mr. Williams?
No, not at this time. I'm still digesting this.
Okay. Professor Rob? You're on mute, Professor Rob.
By God, again, and thank you for coming on, sharing your wealth of knowledge and
Yes, sir. Thank
analysis
you.
with me. But I just have a couple of points for clarification. When you say there's a counter-racist language, do you have an example of one?
Yes, sir. I gave a quick example of the term racism, white supremacy, which is mistreatment of people based on color. Now, if you look up racism in the dictionary, it won't say that. And the reason it won't say that is because that points directly to white people.
Well, okay, well, what about this? You said that I was not clear when you said white people can't be victims of racism. Are you saying that the civil rights workers that were killed and the abolitionists who were hung and killed and the white people they called nigger lovers that they killed and burned and stuff were not victims of racism?
No, sir. They were victims of murder.
Well, murder is murder. Of course, we were too.
Absolutely. They were victims of murder, but they're not victims of the system of racism, white supremacy.
I'm talking about the reason that they were killed was because the people that was practicing racism didn't like their relationship. Let's say they saw a white girl with a black boy, and they killed her too. Is she a victim or not of racism?
No, sir.
Okay. All right.
So the system of racism, white supremacy works in a lot of ways like a prison system.
Well, it's a global, like you said, it's a global dynamic. I mean, it's institutions, it's laws, it's judges, it's, you know, I mean, like I was in the Natasha Harlan case, and the jury found the woman guilty for shooting her, but the judge gave the woman probation. And like I told the people, racism is not the woman that shot her, that's murder. Racism was the system that let her get away from it, for it, based upon the fact that she shot a black girl and there was no premium on her body, that they didn't punish people for that. Like they haven't punished, we are survivors of racism. It's hard to get them to punish people who have victimized us based upon racism if the system don't allow it. And that's what makes it racism, is that correct?
In part, yes. Like I stated, the worldwide system of racism, white supremacy works in a lot of ways like a worldwide prison system, where you have prisoners, you have prison guards, and you have the warden, right? All of the prisoners are victims of that prison system. All of them. The warden is not. Now, you can't be a prisoner in that prison system and be the warden at the same time. So that's how it works. You have some prisoners that they get extra food, they get extra privileges, and they call those trustees. They are still prisoners. So that's the way it works.
Okay, I'm good, Rusty.
Okay. Brother Mashenda?
No, I don't have any questions or anything at this time. Thank you.
Okay, Barry?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, Brother Muko.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Good questions, I think, as well. my next question would be this. In a system of racism, white supremacy, you just brought it up about the business of white supremacy. And it's always hard to get some victims to understand when we use this word supreme, and they always equate it to white people being better than a black person. When clearly we're talking about the position that they're in. It's not about being better than a black person. Can you explain to the care unit the importance of understanding that you are not a member of a race? I think you just said it before, but the reason why I put it in those words is because you'll hear victims of racism, white supremacy often say, "I'm Black American," or "I'm Black," you know, but not even really understanding that you're still, even in saying that, not really having a firm understanding of what racism, white supremacy is when you're claiming, "I'm a Black American," or even, "I'm an African."
Yes, sir. And I alluded to that before when I talked about the counter-racism worldview, is that the only nation on the planet is the nation of white people who practice racism, white supremacy. Which means America doesn't exist. If America is a place where the people that reside in it practices justice, if it is not that place, then what good is it anyway? If Africa is not the place where the people that resides in it practices justice, what good is it anyway? Those are just lines on a map. Those lines on a map don't mean nothing to a racist white supremacist. They're just lines on a map. They go where they want to go and do what they want to do all over the world. That is a hard pill for non-white people to swallow, because we have been trained that we have to have something to identify with, something to hold on to, something to be proud about, et cetera, et cetera. And that has been handed down from generation to generation. I was looking at my birth certificate not too long ago, and the racial category of my mother and my father both says Negro. It doesn't say Black. It doesn't say African-American. It doesn't say American freedman. It says Negro. So at one time, Black people were referred to as Negro. We've been referred to as a lot of different things at a lot of different times. And to the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, that doesn't mean anything, as long as it doesn't interfere with their business. And racism, white supremacy is a business. And it is a business that shows a profit. Somebody asked me once, well, what is the profit that it shows? A non-white person asked me that. And I told them, you are the prophet. As long as you're confused about how the system works and how to counter it, you are the prophet. Because I am going to, this is a racist white supremacist talking, I am going to make sure that you stay focused on and in conflict with other people that look just like you.
Absolutely. And I think that confusion about race classification is definitely how they keep that going on. I mean, perpetually keep it going on and on. When you even get to delineation and the whole nine, it's creating that friction between victims of racism, white supremacy, so that they'll never concentrate on the problem, which is racist man, racist woman, and the global system of racism, white supremacy, which they embody. Wow. You know, I feel like, I feel like I asked you these questions and you've, you know, by me listening to counter racism, radio all the time, I'm always constantly hearing these questions. So it sometimes sounds redundant to me to even ask these questions. But would you like to inform everybody, all the listeners, about the counter racism platform and, you know, how they can get, you know, with that platform?
Oh, sure. Just point your web browser to counter-racism.com. On that platform, there is a Counter Racism Radio Network. It's on every day, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Lots of presentations from Mr. Fuller, Dr. Welsing, conversations with people studying counter-racism, reviews of various meetings that were held. If you click on the CR radio, that's the part that I'm covering now. Yes. In fact, there are two listeners listening to that presentation by Dr. Welsing right now. Towards the bottom, it says current rotation. If you click that plus sign at the beginning of that, that's everything that's currently in rotation on the Counter Racism Radio Network. I don't know how many different presentations there are. I just keep adding them. So, it's very simple. Or you just go to the web page and you click the play button and it immediately starts playing. There's also the total listening hours. I post that every month. I posted the June listening hours. Today, and I was surprised that all of the listening hours were for the United States. Usually there's 3, 4, 5 different quote-unquote countries of people who listen to the Counter Racism Radio Network. If we scroll back up, there is Counter Racism Television, CRTV at the top. And that's on demand, different videos that different people have submitted, counter racism videos. And you could just click on any one of them, and it'll begin to play just to the left. The next, the articles are articles that people have submitted to be included on the counter-racism website. Lots of different people. There's movie reviews, there's newspaper article reviews, television reviews, television program reviews. Anybody can submit that to webmaster at counter-racism.com. And for any submission to the website itself, you get a free counter-racism.com email. Next to articles is projects. We used to have quite a few projects. They're kind of waning, I suppose. We used to have a counter-racism science project competition where we would give out money to people who submitted their counter-racism science project to the website. And we've been doing that for, looks like a few years ago, we did our 20th. We hadn't done any since then. But I think the cash prize was $2,000 at that time. So over the years, we've been increasing the cash prize. Next to projects is the work study, counter-racism work study project. Many different forums where discussions have taken place over the years. About 2005, I think these discussions go back to 2003, but about 2005, this forum was re-engineered to support counter-racism science only. You'll see there are quite a few people usually on the forums, probably reading the content. Right now it says that there are 78. Back on June 11th of this year, there were over 10,000. Now, what are all those people doing on there? I have no idea. But they were there. If you'll scroll up a little, next to the Counter-Racism Work Study Project, there is a shopping mall, Counter-Racism Shopping Mall, where you can purchase any number. I think someone in this meeting actually purchased something there recently. Isn't that correct?
Yes, you know, got the yeah. book and a t-shirt.
Excellent.
Yeah,
there are t-shirts, there are... there were lots of audio CDs long ago, not so many now. Coffee mugs, etc. Counter-racism merch, as they call it nowadays, merchandise. And the last page, if you scroll up, is the contact information. This used to be a lot longer page where all of the contributors were listed with their email address and their works that they contributed over the years. I was asked several times to please shorten this page by the people who made contributions. For a lot of different reasons. And so this is as it exists today. I try to accommodate as much as I possibly can the victims of racism, white supremacy, as much as I possibly can. So that's the website in a nutshell. If there are any questions surrounding it, I'd be happy to answer those questions.
I just have a question.
Yes, sir.
Did the civil rights movement that broke down discrimination laws, was that a part of a counter-racism movement? Or was that just a integrationist movement?
I would say it's part of a counter-racist movement. Heading in the direction of being a counter-racist movement. Although they did not adopt counter-racism language, counter-racism logic, or counter-racism code, they were trying to find their way toward a solution that would solve this problem of people being mistreated based on color. And there have been lots of Black people throughout what is called history who have been looking for that solution, who've been attempting to organize against the system of racism, white supremacy, rather than unify. I'd also like to say that one of the tricks the white people who practice racism, white supremacy pulled on us is they gave us a choice that integration thing. Integration or segregation? Which one do you choose? when, in essence, the way that the system of racism, white supremacy works is there's no way to integrate racism, there's no way to segregate racism. Racism is the problem. You have to end racism. And you do that by replacing it with a system of justice.
I had a question that I think that'll help. Can you explain the importance of learning counter-racist language, logic, and science, and the importance of not going back and doing the same thing that doesn't work? Can you expound on that? I think you and Mr. Fuller discussed that.
Yes, sir. So if it is your focus, and if you have concluded that part of your mission here on this planet is to produce a system of justice, or to leave the planet in a better state than it was when you got here. A lot of people use that. And you're going to have to come up with some method, a detailed method, scientific method, in order to be able to do that. Because eventually you're going to run into the biggest problem. The biggest problem is people being mistreated based on color. The white people who practice racism, white supremacy, do so in a scientific manner. They are constantly, without fail, running scientific experiments on non-white people. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They are burning midnight oil, coming up with new and better ways, if they can, to refine their strategies and techniques to keep us confused. Eventually, you're going to run into that problem. You might be able to solve some problems. And presumably you will. But if you keep going down that problem solving path, eventually you're going to run into that. So you're going to have some scientific, methodical method, codified method of what to do about it. So it's extremely important if you have concluded that you want to produce a system of justice, that you come up with that scientific methodical method and codify it. By codifying it, I mean engineer the words and their definitions to best reveal truth. Whatever you do, truth is always the standard. If you take that path,
ultimately, with what you said earlier about kind of falling in love with the truth, if you're not truthful with this, then there's no way that we'll change or solve the problem, rather.
Exactly. Some people will use honesty rather than use truth. Gotcha. And over the years, the dictionaries have taken different positions on the word honest. Used to be, about 20 years ago, that honesty was an expression of feeling. It wasn't connected to truth at all. It's a way of expressing the way that you feel when you're being honest. Nowadays, you look it up and they have connected it with truth. There are a lot of people running around here saying, talking about their truth. But truth is truth. You know, no one particular person owns it. No one particular person has it. It was here before we got here. It's going to be here when we're gone. Truth is the truth. So it's very important to understand not only the etymological structure of words, but the history of the definitions that were associated to those words.
Understood. Definitely understood. One of my last questions before we go to the audience again, see if anybody has any questions, because I know we're coming up on the hour. I hear a lot of victims of racism out of, I don't know, maybe frustration or anger, talking about being equal, wanting to be equal to white people, or even looking for racist man and racist woman to be fair. And I always key in on those two words, equal and fair. White supremacy is very, just like you said, very strategic in what they do, in tricking victims of racism, white supremacy, into asking for certain things that they may not really want. So when I want to know if you can speak to equality and fairness when it comes to the system of racism, white supremacy.
According to counter-racism code, fair means white. You may have heard someone say that somebody is fair-skinned. fair does not mean just. It does not mean justice. It does not mean correct or correctness. I'm reading this out of the code book. It is always incorrect to use the word fair, the word just, the word justice, or the word correct, as if they all mean the same. To do so may lead many people to believe that fair means justice, and that fair, justice, and white mean the same thing. Thus, some people may be led to believe that white people are fair and that fair people are people who practice justice. It is best, therefore, to use the word fair to mean white and only to mean white. So that comes from the 1984 version of the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. Many times over the years when I've heard non-white people make reference to being equal with white people, what I have concluded over the years is what they're really saying is that they don't want to be mistreated based on color. And they inherently know that white people are not mistreated based on color, because white people, and this is an insane concept that we've all accepted, that white people are colorless, having less color or no color. So we innately believe that when all people on the planet have color in some variation. But the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, are very deceitful. And they are so deceitful that it's almost like magic. And they can convince you that they have no color. You might have heard many of them say that they are not people of color, and are colored people. And so this is one of the rules for the business of racism, white supremacy, where they use this particular deceit to keep non-white people confused about who is white and who is not. So if you ask a white person, a person who says that they are white, one simple question, four words, how white is white? And just let them respond. Just that one question, four words. Because you're going to find that it's not really a genetic thing at all. It's a political category. Just that one question will do that.
Can you repeat that question again? Repeat the question again. Ask them what?
How white is white? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. In other words, when do you know when a person is a white person? And when do you know when a person is not a white person? Eventually, if they're truthful with you, which is extremely rare, eventually they'll get around and say, they're white because I said they're white. That's the bottom line.
Okay, and that sounds more so like around the road of when you're asking them how or why am I classified as black, they'll never say because I said so.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Okay. So I had some license plates. When I lived up in the D.C. area in Baltimore, I had some license plates on my car that said N-O-N hyphen R-A-C-E, non-race. And I used to drive that around. Mr. Fuller used to get a kick out of it. I used to drive it around. That was one of my experiments, counter-racism science experiments, said non-race. And people used to challenge me on that. And they say, you're a black person, ain't you? You know, white people used to challenge me on that. You're a black person, aren't you? Or ain't you? I said, yeah, but I'm not a member of no race. And they say, yes, you are.
Human race, yeah.
And I said, why? And they never would answer the why question. Yeah, well, you know, human race, that's it, you know. The counter-racism worldview is there are no humans on this planet. We should be trying to become human. The people on this planet are not humane, human being the root word for humane. We mistreat each other. And and we don't help the people who need help the most to get the most constructive help. And that is what humanity is all about. So when people use the phrase human race, that is a phrase that should never be used. No human, no humane person would even qualify to be a member of a race.
Yeah, I definitely understand that logic, and I definitely understand how that connects. Man, I keep saying this is my last question, but I keep going on. Anybody else has a question? You know, I mean, look, I could ask counter racism question. I mean, Mr. Edwards.
Let me go around the
questions.
Around
the like, right.
Ernest, you come up with any questions yet?
No, I'm still digesting all this. Because I've kind of, you know, things he's talking about, I've kind of lived them and I feel them because I always look out for my fellow man, somebody that's doing worse than I am, and try to help them if I can, you know. So I don't know. And then in my case, I've been denied things, but then I've been granted stuff that I never thought I would get. You know, so I'm kind of, it's a kind of a toss up with me. I'm going to go to their website and maybe try to digest it more because this, things are still kind of vague, you know, in my mind on what's going, what he's actually, I see what he says about the white supremacy crap, you know, but I'm still trying to, oh man, I don't know. It's some deep stuff going on there. So I got nothing at this time. Yeah.
So yeah, on the, I'm sorry. I just wanted to address that if I could.
Go ahead.
On the counter-racism work study project, there is a forum called Questions and Answers. If you'll go to the counter-racism work study project and register there under the form that's called Questions and Answers, Q&A, you can ask any question that you would like to ask, and I or someone else will respond to it, as long as that question is in reference to the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, or counter-racism, how to replace the system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice. As long as it references either of those two, We welcome all questions.
Because in my mind, I've always thought I hear that white supremacy, but I've never seen any white person that I thought was any better than I was. You know, he can say he's white supremacist or whatever, but then so what? You know, how does that make you better than me?
Yeah, it doesn't mean better. I think Brother Muko pointed that out at the beginning of his talk. Being supreme doesn't mean better. It just means you are in a position of power, a warlike position. See, nobody who has any sense at all would claim that the people in Gaza and Palestine are in a supreme warlike position over the Israelis. Nobody. You can look at that situation and see what's going on. Nobody would claim that. So it's a supreme position from that regard. Doesn't mean better. Doesn't mean that they're more courteous than you are. Doesn't mean that they're more respectful than you are. Doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that they're in a supreme position. And they subject you to that domination.
Okay. Brother Mashinda?
No, I don't have any questions. Appreciate the presentation.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Professor Ra?
There's a lot to racism and a lot of theories out there how to counter it and how to deal with it. You guy got the gun, you got the military, so he imposed it on the world. He's a minority, as Dr. Francis Gresham said, and he's afraid of genetic annihilation. And that's why he passed all them laws again. That's why he set up institutions to segregate people based on, classify people based on race. But there's a difference between countering it and trying to eliminate it. And I understand the counter because most people say you can't eliminate it, so you have to counter it. But, racism, I mean, people hate humans of color, but they got all kind of color clothes. You know, it's amazing. White folks don't like black people, but they love black clothes. Animals come in different colors, cows, butterflies, insects. You know, the world is supposed to be of color because the creator on the evolution of us brought that forth. What you have is a people that, as he says, want to be the supreme race. And that's what they're doing with this deportation and this whole white nationalist movement in various countries. It's a struggle. We've been struggling with it since we had a close encounter with white folks in the third guy. And I set up under Francis Chris Wilson for years, from the ball game to the gun to all the her theories and her position, and how she accepted Neely Fuller's definition, and that became her definition. Racism is a global dynamic. But the challenge is, you have people that don't think they're victims of it. There's a lot of them. And those that of color helping the guy, like Clarence Thomas Institute. We've been fighting all those aspects of it. But it's a good struggle. I wouldn't have it any other way. That's all I got to say.
All right, Brother Muko.
Well, I appreciate everybody's questions, answers, and insights. I would like to ask Mr. Williams, would you like to, well, I know it hasn't happened yet, but I'm just excited about the children's line that's coming out. You want to give anybody information about the children's books that's coming about on racism, white supremacy? I feel like that is very important.
Yeah, I could talk about a minute in reference to that. So the books are complete. Waiting on the Library of Congress to do their thing, of course. It's six books. The books focus on question words: who, what, when, where, why, and how. Each book is dedicated to one word. The name of the series is My Little Friends. So the little friends are words, question words. Noticing that when children first come to the planet as babies, once they learn to walk and once they learn to talk, they ask a lot of questions, a lot of questions. By the time they reach puberty, they hardly ask any questions at all. And by the time they come of age, it's extremely rare, unfortunately, for them to ask any questions. Now, they'll do a lot of talking, but they won't ask any questions. So the books were written with that in mind. In fact, that's part of the foreword for each of the books, which goes into more detail than what I've stated here. And the series focuses on a day or two or three, however many, in the life of a child who is helping their friend to do something constructive. So the first book is the why book. After you finish that, it's the how book. And it goes through all six question words. And the story is encapsulated in all six books, different aspects focusing on six different question words.
Nice. Nice. Very logical, very detailed. I like that. I like that. I'm excited. I hope that everybody else is excited, because I'm going to definitely stay tuned. Stay tuned like a car. So yeah, definitely appreciate your work and your dedication to countering racism. And you know, man, I just want to be like you when I grow up one day. So I guess we'll give it to Brother Rashiki, and we'll close out until the next time. And I hope that you definitely come back once you know that congressional library get finished practicing the racism and get these books coming along. I hope you come back and give us a presentation and an introduction so we can, you know, purchase those books for our offspring. I think that's a very, very, very important step. And now that you mention it, and I was thinking about myself when you said, dag, you know, as you get to an adult, very rarely that you have questions. And I would like to think that listening to Mr. Fuller and you and Dr. Welzen, I definitely asked my mother more questions now than I've ever asked her in my life. So I think that's a good thing.
Brother Muko, I have to join you with that one. as soon as he said that, I'm thinking, why? That's why is that so? Because of the programming comes in and it's in full effect. That's what I'm thinking, but that's excellent. Excellent.
Absolutely. I'm
gonna purchase the books for me.
I'm with you, Rusty.
I'm interested in seeing what it's about. But excellent. I really appreciate you coming on, Brother Muko, and get Mr. Williams for us to come on and talk about racism and counter-racism, because it's very important so we can further, you know, get away from all of this confusion. We need to diffuse a lot of the confusion and keep things more simple and to the point and let things make sense versus not making sense. So I really appreciate it. Professor Ra, do we have a guest for next week on Tuesday? Are you still there?
Yeah.
You have a guest for next week?
Yeah, I got to confirm them.
You haven't confirmed yet? Okay.
All right, brother. Cuba.
And what's that?
It's going to be about Cuba, what America's doing to Cuba.
Okay, so if not a guest, we'll be talking about Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Muko, what do we have for next week? You're hosting again on Wednesday.
Yeah, next week we'll have I'm gonna have my spiritual care unit online. We'll be talking to High Priest Harlem Jackson and spiritual healer Obsibania, you know. So we'll have them here with us next Wednesday talking about spiritual healing.
Okay. That'll be nice. Okay, well, I appreciate everyone being here this evening. We're going to go ahead and close. So each one teach one in Black Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day. Thank you.
Peace. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.